who's becoming increasingly popular given the recent rise of K contents. I want to note that this presentation was a part of the keynote I gave earlier this year at SUNY Buffalo under the symposium called Gender, Genre, and Language in Korean Film and Drama. And for your reference, she just had the first, very first retrospective tribute screening of her work outside of Korea at the 21st Florence Korean Film Festival in Italy, alongside other screenings dedicated to Korean women directors earlier this year. And this is one of the first global recognition that was given to Korean women filmmakers. But I must say the topic of women directors of Korea is still incredibly underrepresented, not only in the industry or field, but also in academia. There is only one academic volume in English, for instance, wholly dedicated to a women filmmaker, Im Sul-yeon, that is, this book just came out. Please spread the word out for me. Im Sul-yeon is a singular individual when it comes to the subject of Korean cinema and Korean women filmmakers. And this is especially so when you consider the total number of her production, film productions, and the longevity of her career and the global audience that her films have accumulated so far. For all those reasons, I think she's a key figure to help us sketch out the reality of the situation of women filmmakers in Korea. My goal of this talk, nevertheless, is not to privilege or single out one particular filmmaker, but to give an historical overview of Korean cinema as well as the work of Korean film women filmmakers as a whole, relative to the career of Im Sul-yeon, because her films, works coin because of her film works coincide with a significant period of Korean cinema, starting with her debut in 1995. It is painful to say, and I'll return to this point later on, the number of her films and her commercial success are not so extraordinary compared to her male contemporaries such as Park Chan-wook and Hong Sang-soo, whose productions far outnumber those of her female directors. Currently, there is no other female director who's professionally achieving anything like Im Sul-yeon has done. So I believe that highlighting Im Sul-yeon's work and accomplishments in the historical context of Korean cinema, while critically assessing the Korean film industry and its gender bias, provides a useful and timely discussion. I also hope that this from this we could share some thoughts how we might reassess the recent success of the Korean film industry. So, for those of you who are not really familiar with Im Sul-yeon, I'm going to introduce her by talking about her latest feature film, Kyosop, The Point Man. I also draw attention to what the release of this film means in terms of Korean film industry now, also in the context of Korean women filmmakers. Labeled a blockbuster action film, Kyosop, The Point Man has been released nationwide right before Pujong Seollal, the Lunar New Year holiday week in January. This is one of the biggest markets for Korean film industry, along with Christmas and the Chuseok, Korean Thanksgiving season. The opening of this film made headlines throughout the Korean media because only a few blockbusters have enjoyed a theatrical release since the pandemic. The film's release was known to have been postponed several times due to the recession within movie theaters. The Point Man was framed as a savior for the dying movie theaters, along with another blockbuster film, Yuryong, The Phantom, directed by Lee Hae-yong. Unfortunately, the film only gathered an audience of 1.72 million, which was below its breaking even point, which was 3.5 million. But combined with its overseas sales and wider media distribution, the film will likely break even. Apart from its industry significance, the release of this film is most notable because it's the very first blockbuster film ever directed by a women filmmaker, Im Sul-yeon. The total budget is known to have cost 17 billion Korean won, which is equivalent to 13.7 million US dollar. But in reality, must have cost more than 18 to 19 Korean billion Korean won after P&A, promotion and advertisement. This is a remarkable number, actually, because the average budget for productions led by women filmmakers has been around 3 to 4 billion, which makes it almost 5 times bigger than any other female project. Of course, the average cost for blockbuster films made by male directors is much higher. For example, the average budget of last year's 4 major blockbusters, including Weigain by Choi Dong-hoon, Alien by Choi Dong-hoon, Hansan by Kim Han-min, Hunt by Lee Jong-jae, Emergency Declaration, 비상선언 by Han Jae-rim, comes to 31.2 billion Korean won. This long-lasting tendency of not assigning female directors with large blockbuster projects has been an open secret of the Korean film industry. The release of The Point Man in this respect is certainly hopeful news for the fans of Korean cinema and particularly for the working women in Korean film industry. However, similar to the fact that Kathleen Bigelow's Hurt Locker marked the first time a woman was awarded the Oscar for Best Director and signaled greater debate about gender inequality in Hollywood, Im Sul-yeo's breakthrough triumphant moment unfortunately also reflects Korean film industry's deep-rooted sexism and the incredibly unequal ground for working women. Korean cinema, despite its recent success on the festival circuit and global popularity led by films and dramas such as Parasite and Kingdom, has never offered a fair ground for women filmmakers. And the industry has been notoriously male-dominated since its inception. On the global scale, young women filmmakers started to make their presence apparently from the early 1990s. And since the 90s, young filmmakers, women filmmakers have made a meaningful breakthrough on the global platform that confers cinema's cultural value. Although Korean film industry around this time witnessed some female force in the production line and marketing field, never to this level of global trend. The paucity of women filmmakers in Korea was steady and prevalent. So her presence is important not only as the first woman entrusted with a blockbuster project, but also as the only working woman among her generation of filmmakers mentioned above, including Park Chan-wook, Hong Sang-soo, Bong Joon-ho, who all debuted in the 1990s. Historically, only 5 women had managed to be credited as directors before Im Sul-yeo stepped in with her debut film Three Friends in 1995. Although I must say this fact could be debatable since it is an assessment limited to commercial cinema. So far, the situation doesn't appear to be have improved according to the box office records from of domestic films from 2022. Only 4 films were directed by women out of the top 50 Korean films, and there are 4 films were all mid to low budget projects under a total cost of 6 billion Korean won. So now let me offer you an overview of how Im started her career and how her cinematic journey has been entwined with some significant turning points in Korean film industry. She entered into filmmaking just as South Korean cinema was being transformed by shifts occurring both in and outside of Korea film industry. Politically, Korea witnessed its very first democratically elected president, Kim Il-sung, in 1993, after more than 3 decades of military rule. As a result, films were afforded an unprecedented level of freedom of expression, and this contributed to a new diversity of themes and approaches as now films could address thorny social issues and critiques that were severely regulated during the period of military regime. Within the film industry, major conglomerates like Samsung, SK, and Daewoo started to step into the business and actively seek out possibilities for WeWorld. And the involvement of these big companies required a more reliable and professional system of film business than the old Chungmuro system, which was heavily dependent upon old-fashioned human connections. According to Brian, he says that, I quote, "These large vertically integrated conglomerates might engulf them. There was also a perceived need to resuscitate the underperforming local industry, and the chambers provided a ready means of achieving this." So apart from these historical firsts that she has garnered as a woman director, the most notable outcome of her career is, of course, of films, and her films are easily distinguishable from those of her male contemporaries in the Korean New Wave or New Korean cinema. I still have like 8 pages left. So a tendency I would like to highlight for today is her inclination towards male protagonists and her focus on male failure. This defies a tacit but long-held tradition that most films produced by Korean women filmmakers pursue the female issues such as marriage system, sexuality, and maternity through the eyes of female protagonists. Her predominant employment of male characters sometimes became the subject of criticism raised by feminist film scholars and critics, that she doesn't openly address female or feminist issues in her films. Admittedly, among her 9 feature films, only 2 films are led by female protagonists. Nevertheless, I would argue that her frequent theme of male failure delivered through a highly particular and gendered point of view make her films feminist and very necessary works that disavow the traditional celebration of male hegemony in Korean cinema. And another tendency I would bring out today is her lack of fatherhood, I mean, celebration of fatherhood in her films. She disrupts this convention of masculine heroism empowered by fatherhood through positioning her characters outside traditional patriarchal structures. These characters, including Chaeho, Taesik, Hashim, they neither proclaim their fatherly position throughout the operation nor share sentiments based on their family or situation. There is one moment, for example, in this movie, Kyosop, where Taesik initiates a personal conversation with Chaeho for the first time before their final negotiation with Taliban, which is the main theme of this film. Taesik asks, "Don't you need to call your family before the operation?" Knowing he's married, Chaeho jokingly but briefly answers, "IU eavesdrops me on me," being surprised by the fact that Taesik already knows he hasn't called home. This whole conversation, which could have easily been one of the most emotional moments in the film, lasts less than 1 minute, and it's ended with Kashim's interruption. They need to leave for the meeting place. As opposed to typical tear-dropping moments of a male character reminiscing the memories with his family at home before the big event, Chaeho's fatherhood neither magnified nor employed as a motivation for his heroism. She consistently calls into question the established patriarchal system within Korea and masculine ideas of power that sustains it. In this presentation, I attempt to call attention to the significance of Im Sul-yeol's breakthrough as a female director in an industry which has been so historically sexist, and to contest the underrepresentation of women filmmakers in Korea. And I also highlighted that both Im's status as an auteur and her films themselves signify an important turning point in the history of Korean cinema. While it is laudable that she consistently produces film that can stand out within the film industry, it is perhaps lamentable that most of her firsts have not been rendered obsolete by by the parallel achievement of other film directors. It is my sincere hope that Im Sul-yeol's recent recognition with both the domestic and global sphere and her commercial achievement within Korean film industry would induce an equal amount of attention to that which her male contemporaries have garnered so far. In the long term, such attention would help to illuminate the significance of women's contributions to mainstream filmmaking in Korea. And ultimately, I'm hopeful that women's cinema on a broader level can be not merely be characterized as a form counter cinema opposed to popular film, but be more broadly shared as a form of popular entertainment where meaningful changes can be articulated from within. Thank you for listening.